'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message, Can the Blind Lead the Blind? My text is found in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 39. The Lord Jesus says, And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Obviously, the blind cannot lead the blind. The disciple is not above his master. The learner is not above his teacher. He's not going to believe differently or go beyond him. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You will believe, I will believe what those who teach us teach. If my teacher is in error, I will be in error. If my teacher is telling the truth, I will believe the truth. Now, blindness. Blindness. Oh, what a horrible thing to not be able to see. How dependent would a blind person be upon their guide being able to see? And if that one who is a guide is blind, what is going to happen? In Matthew chapter 15, we read, beginning in verse 12, Then came his disciples and said unto him, the Lord Jesus, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And you know, the Pharisees were always offended by the things the Lord said, the religious fundamentalists of his day. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. He called these same people in Matthew chapter 23 blind guides, fools, and blind. Now, think for a moment about blindness. I remember when I was young, I always thought the most terrible thing that could happen to me is if I was blind and I could not see. If you were born blind, you'd have no idea, no concept of what things look like. You wouldn't have any appreciation of what is beautiful, nor would you be able to discern that which is ugly and repulsive. And how we need a guide who can see. The blind cannot lead the blind. How we need a guide who can see. Now, some are foolish enough to think they have no need of a guide. That's arrogance. That's presumption. And that's foolishness. All of us need a guide. And there are some who just blindly follow anybody, swallowing what they say. They don't pay attention as to whether or not their guides really know the truth. They don't see if what they're saying is according to the Word of God. You know, most people, most people who are otherwise very intelligent people seem to check their brains out when it comes to religion. And they just blindly swallow and blindly follow whatever some religious leader has to say. And my friends, that's dangerous. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. In our day, the average preacher has this as his message. God loves all men without exception and wants to save everybody. He loves those who are in heaven with the same love he loved those who are in hell and wanted to save them. God wills the salvation of all men. Those men in hell, he wanted them to be saved, but he couldn't save them because of something they didn't do. He wills the salvation of the men in heaven and hell all the same. God wills the salvation of all men the same. The preaching and teaching of our day is that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for everybody. He died for the sins of those people in hell just as much as he died for the sins of those people in heaven. He died for all men without exception, wanting people to be saved, but he can't save you unless you do something in order to make what he did work for you. And God the Holy Spirit calls all men the same. Now, if that's so, if God loves the men in hell and the men in heaven the same, if he loves all men the same, what does the love of God have to do with salvation? It didn't do any good at all for those in hell. If God wills the salvation of all men the same, if he willed the salvation of those in hell with the same will he had for those who are in heaven, what's the will of God have to do with salvation? It didn't do anything for those people in hell. Actually, the love of God and the will of God have nothing to do with salvation, if that's the truth. Your salvation is dependent upon what you do, not what God does. If Jesus Christ shed his blood for all men the same, if he shed his blood for the men in hell just as much as he did for those who are in heaven, what does the blood of Christ have to do with salvation? Absolutely nothing. Now that's just, think about it. Think about it. Most people just quit thinking when it comes to religion. They're very intelligent people otherwise, but they just quit thinking and swallow what they hear. Now, blindness is used in the scripture to describe the state of the natural man. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." Paul says, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, those who have been blinded. It's not because it can't be seen or doesn't make sense, but it's because the natural man is spiritually blind. You know, when Adam fell, our first father in the Garden of Eden, when Adam fell, he became spiritually blind. Now, his eyes were opened physically. The scripture says when he fell, they knew that their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked, but he became spiritually blind. And that is seen by the fact that now he tries to hide from the presence of omniscience and omnipresence. God is everywhere at once and knows all things, and he tries to hide himself from him. He became spiritually blind to the true character of God. There was a time when he knew, but now he doesn't. He became blind to his own sinfulness, trying to cover himself with those fig leaf apron righteousness. Now, it's blindness to the character of God that makes a man believe he can be saved by his works. He does not see that those works are nothing more than filthy rags before God because he's blind. They could never satisfy a holy God. He's blind to the true character of God by thinking that what he could do could satisfy a holy God. The only reason someone believes in free will is his spiritual blindness. Now, what does it take to see? Well, there's two things. It takes light, and it takes a seeing eye. Now, if I don't have light, even if I have a seeing eye, I might as well be blind. I must have light before I can see, but it also takes a seeing eye. The light may be there, but if I don't have the seeing eye, the gift of God, I won't see anything. I must be given an eye to see, and I must be given light. Now, in John chapter 8, I'd like you to look at this passage of Scripture if you have an access to a Bible. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we read, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. Now, what a statement. Why did he say that? What was the context of him making that statement? Now, in this passage of Scripture, we read in John chapter 8, verse 2, "And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. She was caught red-handed." There's no question whatsoever about her guilt. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" You see, they thought they had the Lord in a pickle. They thought, we've got him condemned. If he says stoner, we can say, where's your mercy? You talk about being the friends of sinners. And if he says let her go, we can say, where's your respect to the law of God? Why, God said stoner and you're not doing it. They thought they had him in a situation where he would be condemned with any answer he gave. "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now the Lord is the light. Jesus Christ is the light. As to how Christ could look at that woman who was guilty of that crime and say, I do not condemn you. This is only understood in light of the gospel. You see, this woman's act of adultery, all this woman's sin, became Christ's sin. He stood as a substitute for that woman, and he represented her. Her sin became his sin. He was punished in her place. And his perfect righteousness becomes hers. And now he can look at her and say, I do not condemn you. You see, there's nothing to condemn her for because Christ saved her. Now, Christ is the light as to how God can be just and yet justify somebody like this woman or like me or you. Christ said, I am the light of the world. How precious that light is to a believer. Aren't you thankful when the Lord gives you light as to how God can accept you and love you and embrace you? Now, there is a blindness that's worse than spiritual blindness, and that would be judicial blindness. When God leaves a man to himself so that he cannot see. In John chapter 12, verse 37, we read, But though he had done so many miracles among them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes. God blinded them. That's what that says. He, God, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, there's a time when the Lord leaves a man to himself, when he rejects the light he has, and God turns the lights off. Judicial blindness. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that says something about this issue, beginning in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, what a horrible thing when a man is left to himself and blinded eternally so that he'll never see because he didn't receive the light that was given to him. Judicial blindness. Now, all men by nature are spiritually blind, blind to our own condition of sinfulness, blind to the character of God, and we won't see until God gives us this spiritual light. And there's a judicial blindness, and what a horrible place that is to be. But did you know that there's a good kind of blindness? Let me read about it in John chapter 9. This is after the Lord had healed that man who had been blind from his birth. We read in verse 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus saith unto them, "If you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Now, did you hear what was said in that passage of Scripture? Christ came to give sight to the blind. And he came to blind those who see. Now, what in the world did he mean by that? Now, if you're someone that cannot see why God would look your way in mercy, you cannot see why God would have any favor toward you at all, you believe yourself to be a sinner. You believe yourself to be far from God. And you don't know why he would ever show mercy to someone like you. You cannot see why God would have favor toward you. Now, if you're somebody like that, you're the one he came to save. You see, he's given you spiritual sight. There was a time when you didn't see that, and you do now. And the reason you see this is he's given you spiritual sight. He's given you a glimpse of what you really are and who he really is. And you see God in his holiness and you in your sinfulness, and you say, "How could he ever have anything to do with me?" That's the person he came to save. Now, if you're one who says, "Well, I see why God would save me because I did this and I did that and I quit this and I started that. I can see why God would save me. Look at the things I've done for him. Look at the things I've given up." You've been blinded. You've been blinded. You don't see. If you think that God could accept anything that you do, it's because you don't see his character and you don't see your own sinfulness. Now, I want to show you a man who was spiritually blind, but he was given sight. And I pray that's what takes place as you and I consider this passage of Scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 8. It's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch being given saving faith. Now, in Acts chapter 8, we read, beginning in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert.' And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Now, this man was not a Hebrew. He was a Gentile. He was from Ethiopia. He was a black man. And he knew something about the God of Israel because he was going to Jerusalem to worship. He knew something about the God of Israel. He knew something about the Passover. And he came during the Passover. And he knew he wanted to worship God. And he was returning from Jerusalem. And I have no doubt he was just as empty as he was when he got there. He knew that he hadn't met God. He still was in darkness and ignorance. But he was doing one thing that was very good. He was reading the Bible. Now remember, the Bible is God's revelation of himself. If you want to know who God is, he makes himself known in this book we call the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He was reading from Isaiah 53, as we're going to find out in a few moments. Well, he was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Evidently, the man was reading out loud. Philip came to his chariot, listened as he read, and then Philip asked this question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Now, most people would say, "Well, here's what I think it means." Or, "Why are you asking me that? I already know what it means." Or, "Here's what..." A multitude of answers most people would give, but I want us to see this man's humility. And he said, "How can I except some..." And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" I have no idea what any of this means. I know this is the Word of God, but I don't understand it. I can't understand it. How can I except some man should guide me or lead me? That's the same word that the Lord used when he said, "Can the blind lead the blind?" The answer is no. They'll both fall in the ditch. How can I understand what this means except some man should guide me? I am in the dark, is what this eunuch was saying. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. "Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." He didn't speak to defend himself. He willingly let them do this to him. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Quoting from Isaiah 53. That's that chapter where it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. He heard all that from Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, as he'd been reading Isaiah 53, he said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" And Philip told him of the some other man, the God. Scripture says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." This substitutionary lamb being spoken of, this lamb that was slain, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. And I would have loved to heard this message. He preached unto him Jesus, who he is, the God-man, what he did. He died on Calvary's tree to put away sin, and that's what he did. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." When he said, "It is finished," his people were saved from their sins. He preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, no doubt, Philip had already told him about baptism. "Whoso believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved." Now, baptism, the act of going under the water and coming back up, is not what saves a man. Baptism is the believer's confession of Christ. When I'm baptized, I confess what I believe. I confess that my only hope is that when he lived and kept the law, I was in him and he did it for me. My only hope is that when he died, I was in him and he died for me and paid for my sins. When I'm baptized, I confess that my only hope is that when he was raised from the dead, everything God required of me was paid for. That he did it all. That's what baptism means. He did it all. That's my public confession of him. Now, this Ethiopian eunuch had heard what Philip said with regard to baptism, and they come to a pool of water, and he says, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Perhaps I don't know enough. Perhaps I haven't experienced enough. I want to know if I should not be baptized. And Philip answered, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. And notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, I believe that I'm saved. He didn't say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. He didn't say, I believe I've been born again. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed that with all his heart. He believed who Christ was, the eternal Son of God. And if you believe he's the eternal Son of God, you believe he must be successful in what he did. You can't believe that he can die for you and you end up being lost anyway. No, you believe who he is. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had been given spiritual sight. He began this conversation in blindness. He had no idea as to what Isaiah 53 meant. Didn't even have a clue. God turned the lights on. He gave him eyes to see, and he gave him the light of the gospel. And he believed. Then we read in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He was given light. Can the blind lead the blind? Can someone who is blind to how God saves sinners, someone who is blind to the true character of God and the true character of man, can that man lead others to the Lord? No, he can't. The blind cannot lead the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch. But thank God there is light, the light of the gospel, and God does give sight to the blind, just like he did to this man, the light of how he can save, how he can embrace, how he can accept you for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for spiritual light. The Lord said, I am the light of the world. I am the light as to how a holy God can save someone like me or you. Thank God for that light. Now we have this message on DVD or CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will reveal himself to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.
I didn't like, so I called Everest. They showed me around the school, and bam, I was there getting hands-on training. Career placement helped me before graduation. Now I love my job. I changed my whole life with just one phone call.
One phone call can change your life too. Start training for a new career. Call Everest now.
1-800-979-5843.
Everest for life.
Western Sky can put up to $5,000 in your checking account by tomorrow, so get off the payday treadmill and call 877-SKY-1224 now.